Bibles to Galatians chapter number 6. While you turn there, let me mention to you that Sunday, of course, being Easter Sunday, we're looking forward to a great time in the house of God. I encourage you to come and bring somebody with you. And a lot of times there'll be folk that'll get interested in going to church and Christmas and Easter that may not be interested other times. And so it'll be a great opportunity to invite them to come and to be a part of the service. And so I'm certainly not critical of the fact that they come on Christmas and Easter. I'm just glad they come. And they may get hear something and come back. And so God may deal with them and help them. And I'd encourage you to invite folk around you and you know, those who, and I know some in the service tonight that's really working on some folk to be here Sunday. And I thank God for that. And so if we'd all put our efforts together and try to get others to come and be a part of that service, I look forward to Sunday, not just because it's Easter Sunday. Fact is, every Sunday we commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's why we meet on Sunday, as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I certainly see nothing wrong with having a day that we remember in a special way, the resurrection, but every Sunday we do. And I wouldn't get in any arguments about the day that Christ was crucified, but you have a hard time getting him in the grave 3 days and three nights and crucify him on Friday. And he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so would the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Just remember, this was during the Passover season, and they had different Sabbaths. And so in that time period of days that were special, and so I believe personally, it was a different day, and we're not going to that. That's not my direction tonight. I'm just simply saying that sometimes the world sets things up or some religion has set things up, and we just accept it the way it is. They call it Good Friday. You people work a job 5 days a week, you think every Friday is a Good Friday. If it's payday especially, amen. And so I'm not so interested in Good Friday. And I am interested in every day living for God. And I'm interested in every Sunday remembering the resurrection of Jesus and being faithful as we can about that. But I am thankful that Jesus died for our sin. I am thankful. Look in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to start reading at verse number 12 tonight. If you'll stand with us, please, while we read the Word of God. Chapter number 6 of Galatians and verse 12. As many as desire to make a fire show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, they may glory in your flesh. In other words, they were glorying under the law and the circumcision of it. And they were trying to add that to the grace of God. But look at verse 14. But God forbid, and there's one of those holy conjunctions, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I say hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to try to share this thought with you tonight. Why glory in the cross? Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fact that he did die for our sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. I praise your name, give you glory and honor and praise for all that you have given to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Tonight, Lord, I'm very thankful and very appreciative of the cross and all you did for us. And Lord, surely we need to glory in that and what you did. And I tonight want you to help us, God, just for a few minutes, that it'll become real to us. Lord, we don't want to just say some words. We don't want to just be up here and make a few points. But God, I pray the Holy Spirit would make it real to my heart and the hearts of this people that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for us. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. Help us realize some truths about that. And we'll thank you tonight. Maybe someone here in this congregation that knows not Jesus and doesn't realize what he really did for them. I pray you make it real to them tonight. And thank you, Lord. And we'll praise your name for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In context, now, if you know anything at all about the book of Galatians, you know that Paul dealt much with this conflict about the law and grace and what the Judaizers were trying to do, as they were called, because they were trying to carry over into Christianity some things that were not necessary for Christians. And circumcision was one of those things. Of course, that was given to the Jewish people, and that was a command, and they did that. And they wanted to carry that over, some did, into Christianity. But what Paul was trying to get them to see was that it was not anything that man could do that made salvation real. That salvation was by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But it all centered in the cross of Calvary. That Jesus Christ paid it all, not part of it, but all of it. You see, Jesus didn't just pay part of it, then leave us to do something that might merit us salvation. He paid it all. We sing that song sometimes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That's exactly right. Jesus paid it all. And the law could not say. He said up there in the verses I read to you that they have the circumcision, they've been circumcised, and they don't even keep the law. Said they can't keep the law themselves. The law, no man ever kept the law perfectly except the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man can't do that. Man fails and comes short of the glory of God. And we don't do that. We just can't keep the law in this flesh. That's all there is to it. But the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be saved by the grace of God. The law simply showed us how bad we are and showed us how far away we were and how much we needed Jesus Christ and needed a substitute to take our place and pay our price. But God forbid that I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to deal, just give you four or five things maybe here tonight real quickly, and I'll try to hold it to that. But I want you to know what the cross does. I want you to get this. And thank God for the cross. We hear in our churches and preach the gospel, that we hear about the cross, we hear about the death, and we sometimes get used to it as it is, quote, used to it. And I pray God help us tonight that it become fresh to us as we near the Sunday that we call, the world calls Easter, Resurrection Day. This Easter, by the way, is a pagan word. It comes from Ishtar, and that was a pagan goddess. And it's really the Resurrection Day. And so keep that in mind. And we need the glory in the cross. I thank God for the resurrection. Could never had a resurrection had not been a cross. But I want you to notice what the cross does. It directs you to somebody. And that's the first point I want to give to you. Directs. Look in verse 15. Well, verse 14, back up to it. But God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately he's talking about, it's not just a cross, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ that he's directing us to. And in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcised availeth anything, but a new creature. He's simply saying the cross directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say amen to that. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus made little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We see Jesus, in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And sometimes we forget. We see pictures of the cross, and we see some man's imagination about the cross, and think, well, just a little blood running down and a little bit. No, the Bible said he's marred more than any man. and hung up as it were a mass, beaten humanity and striped and wounded and bleeding and hung there and in shame without clothes. And the Bible says he hung in shame, and they displayed the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. And he despised the shame, but said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And that joy was that you and I might be saved. I'm glad, praise God, he looked beyond the cross. And we sing that song sometime. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's exactly right. That's why he was dying. That's why he endured. But it directs us to the, it's not just the cross. Now we have a cross hanging up there, but that's just a symbol of what we're talking about. And we don't have no image of Jesus on that cross because we don't believe in images of Christ. The cross, but we can remember and it can be a symbol, but it does not do have any saving power. It's the person that hung on the cross that really has the power to save, not the wooden cross. And by the way, the cross does not point to the Mary, his mother. The cross does not point to the Apostle Peter. The cross does not point you to somebody else. It only points to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. And thank God it points to him. I can tonight say, God forbid I glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, not somebody else. Now, Peter, tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down, because he didn't even feel worthy to be crucified like Christ was and asked to be crucified upside down. That be as it may, the cross Paul was talking about had nothing to do with the Apostle Peter, had nothing to do with Mary, had nothing to do with any of the apostles or anybody else. It only had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God it points to him. And I tonight declare unto you again, Jesus Christ is the only answer there is. And the only forgiveness for sins is found through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cross had to be, and Jesus had to die for our sin, else we'd not be saved. Let me give you number two. The cross not only directs us to the Lord Jesus, but the cross divides. And it divides people. I want you to turn with me in Luke chapter number 23. Luke's gospel, chapter number 23. If you turn there with me, please. And we'll see how here the cross divided in this chapter. In verse number 33, Luke 23. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, that's also called the place of the skull, it was outside the city. By the way, there's a place in Jerusalem where the Catholics have said that's the place of Calvary, which is not so. There is a place outside the city, and it's a place that looks like a skull, and called the place of a skull, where we believe that Jesus Christ was really crucified. But let me say this to you. If you could walk on the place where he was crucified, if you could look in the empty tomb where he was, where his body lay, it would not make me believe any more or any less that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, because it's not the ground, it's not the empty tomb. And I'm glad for empty tomb, I'm thankful for that, but it's the person of the Lord Jesus that rose from the dead, and here it's a person on that cross that divides, and a place called Calvary. And there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now look in verse number 39. And the one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if, and anytime you see that, there's some doubts there, said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, now notice he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself. And what he was concerned about was getting off that cross himself. He really didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. He just said, if you be, you know that. And that's doubting. And God wants to deal in absolutes, belief, faith. And so he didn't pay attention to him. Verse 40, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Hallelujah. What a prayer. Here he is hanging on the cross, looks over, the other's been thrown, and both of them at first throwed the things at Jesus, but then this one, something happened. He began to realize that this man was different. And he really began to realize this was the Christ. And he said, Jesus, he didn't say, if you be Jesus, he didn't say, if you be the Lord, he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Wasn't no if about it. He believed that he was who he was. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, thank God, he brought division. It divided those two who undoubtedly had been friends, undoubtedly been in crime together, and now were being crucified. But Jesus hung in the middle and divided them. He not only divided them physically from each other on the crosses, but he divided their where they were headed to. He divided their what they believed. One said, if you be the Christ. The other said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. One died and went to hell, and one died and went to paradise. I say hallelujah. Jesus divides. And these people have been divided because of Jesus Christ. He always divides because those who believe are and going one place, those who don't believe going the other. And so there's a division. But notice the people around the cross, verse 35, same chapter. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen God, there's that word if again. And so they didn't really believe either. And the soldiers also mocked. They were mockingly saying, if he be the Christ. And the soldiers mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar. And he's thirsting there on the cross, and they're mocking, making fun of him, and making light of him. And look down in verse number 47, verse 47. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. One of the other gospels says that he confessed that surely this was the Son of God. I believe he said he was a righteous man and the Son of God. He believed that. He saw that others mocking, made fun of. That centurion said, I believe he's a righteous man. I believe surely this was the Son of God. Christ divided that crowd and all the people that came together to the sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned at smiting the breast. You remember the publican went up to the temple to pray? Bible said he smote his breast. It's an act of humility. It was an act of bowing. Some went by. Some were mocking, laughing, making fun of. But some smote their breast and bowed their head, I believe, as they went by because they realized who he was hanging there on the cross. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. He begged the body of Jesus, if you read on in that chapter. And so that he divided the crowd. There was some that believed, some didn't believe. Some mocked, some made fun, some were hurt by it, and some realized the shame of it. I say today, Christ still divides. And there's some that makes fun of and laughs at. I talked to a young person this week that told me about getting caught up in rock music. That said that he'd even seen in a concert where they took pages of the Bible and ripped them out and made fun of God. And that young man was tore up. I said, son, I'm glad you're where you are. I'm glad God dealing with you about that. He said, even then it bothered me that they would do such a thing. I'm saying, telling you tonight, the devil will lead you out into things and mess your mind up and get you messed up, but the cross will divide you. I told that young man, I said, if you get saved and you really live for God, you'll either lose some friends or you'll have to leave some friends, or else they'll come to Christ too. One or the other happened. Christ always divides. He divides. Amen. He said in the Word of God, as in the Gospels, as Jesus was teaching, he said there'd be mothers against daughters, and they'd be brothers against sisters and all of that. Hey, he divides. He brings a difference. If you really get saved, your life will be different. Hey, some of you sitting here tonight have shared with me things about your life. There have been times in your family, things have happened because you believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. But thank God, I'm glad he makes a difference in your life. It said in verse number 15 there, but a new creature. A new creature, Christ divides. But let me say this. He also, the cross, I'm talking about the cross now. The cross of Calvary, thank God it directs to Jesus. Then the cross divides, and people are divided about the work of Christ on the cross. But it also brings damnation. You say, well, preacher, you've been talking about it, brings it. It does. I'll get to that in a minute. But it brings damnation. And for John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of their only begotten Son of God. Some that don't believe, they're condemned already. It brings damnation to them because they don't believe. And those that mocked him at that time, it brought damnation to them. That's thief. And said, if thou be the Christ. It brought damnation to him because he did not believe. It does bring to damnation those that believe not. In John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life, and he that hath not the Son does not have life, shall not see life. And so we tonight realize the fact he brings damnation to those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But let me say in closing with this, he brings deliverance, hallelujah. I'm glad the cross, thank God it points to Jesus, directs you to Christ. I'm glad it brings that division, because I want to be divided from the world. I want to be separated from the world. He brings division in them. And then he brings damnation to those who will not believe. But thank God tonight, the reality of deliverance for those who will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm one of those that believe and trust that Jesus died for my sin and rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I say, thank God I believe that. You remember back over in the book of Numbers when they were being bitten by the fiery serpents and dying? And God told Moses, said, make a fiery serpent, put it on a pole, and set it up out there. And said, when they are bitten, if they'll look unto that, they shall be healed. Now that fiery serpent made out of brass, brass speaks of judgment in Scripture. The serpent speaks of sin. And what it spake of was the cross of Calvary. It spake of Jesus going to the cross. And the Bible said he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. And brass speaks of that judgment of God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, Isaiah 53 and 11. I believe verse 11 talks about. And said, it pleased the Lord. Judgment came. And God, I said, Sunday, God hates sin. And he does. And sin will be judged. And Christ took my judgment at Calvary. And there in the book of Numbers, if they would only look, they could be saved. They could be healed. They would be all right. If they look, I'm sure somebody back there, somewhere in the congregation got bit and was told there's a brazen serpent out there, put on a pole, and if you'll look, you can be healed. And I'm sure some of them crawled to the tent door, or some had somebody help them get out there so they could look and be healed. But there were probably some of them that said, I don't believe in such a thing. I don't see how that looking at a serpent on a brass serpent on a pole going to help me any. And they probably died because they would not look. But thank God the remedy was there. It was possible for them to be healed and delivered. I'm glad one day I got a glimpse. I'm glad one day God, the Holy Ghost, said to me, if you'll just look, thank God there's life for a look at Calvary. Now thank God I one day looked by faith. I saw Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, dying for my sin, taking my place, suffering my hell, paying my price. And thank God in him I got deliverance. And it's because of the cross of Calvary. Our glory tonight. Our glory in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our glory that he died for my sin, paid my price. Thank God I have nothing to glory in but Jesus. Glory in him. I thank God for him. I'm glad he rose from the dead. I thank God he rose from the dead. But thank God he paid the price before he ever went to the tomb or got up. He paid the price for my sin and suffered all my sin and took my place. Deliverance becomes because of the cross. Tonight, have you been delivered? The cross tonight divides. The cross tonight brings damnation to those that don't believe. But thank God the cross delivers those who will believe. It'll direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him you can have salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking but myself and God. I want to ask you a question on why I just feel led to do this. And I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, and I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to say anything to you after service unless you ask me. But I wonder how many tonight could honestly say, "Preacher, I know I've looked to Calvary. I know I've looked to Jesus. I know he died for me on the cross. I don't even know the fact of it, but I have trusted him as my Lord and Savior." Hold your hand up high. "I've trusted him as my Lord and my Savior. I know it. Thank you so much." You can put them down. Thank you so much. I thank God for that. Not every hand could be lifted. And I want you to know tonight that God laid on my heart this message about the cross. And tonight, God speaking to your heart, God dealing with your life, then this would be a good night to come and trust Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would make it real to our hearts. Help all of us that are saved to realize what you did for us. Thank you, God, it's real that Jesus Christ died for our sin and rose again the third day. Thank you. I praise you for the truth of it. But then, Lord, not everybody could say they're saved tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit speak to their heart, drawn by your power. Help them to come. And then those that may be here saved and their life's grown cold, indifferent, I pray they'd come and cry for the joy to be restored. And I pray, God, you'd have your way with every person here. Then somebody may be here tonight and have a great burden for somebody's lost, and they want to come pray for them. Maybe somebody tonight needs to come and just pray. God, help them in some area of their life, or just come and thank them, you for Calvary. But, Father, whatever it is, have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.